Welcome to Gateway Sermons, and thank you for joining us as we venture together through God's Word.
Father God, I'm so blessed that everybody's in this room here has come to hear something wonderful about you, about Jesus, the Spirit, about being the church. A new year, Lord, I pray for guidance and direction, for the strength of your Spirit to lead us forward. Today, I pray that you will bless my words, not inspired by myself, but hopefully through your Spirit to bring out a small message to my family. Pray for Tony and his family as they travel home, that you will keep them safe. I know that they've been blessed with the weekend away and enjoying a gathering of their family and being at a sports activity, Lord. It makes us rich, creating these memories. Bless this time now, Lord. In the sweet name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Well, I am excited about being up here, and let me get in my mood. I know some of you, I shared with you before, that basically when I grew up, I was extremely shy. And I don't know what happened. I think I am somewhat still shy, but my wife says I'm not, okay? Sometimes she says I might talk too much. So if I take you down a rabbit hole, bear with me. We even have a signal. I won't tell you what it is, but she'll give me a signal when I'm talking too much, okay? So let's see what we can do with you today, okay? My name is Gil. I'm one of the elders here. You saw Pastor Tony and his family. And I really am excited about being able to come before you and share a message. Now, there's verse-by-verse messages, and there's topical messages. Sometimes when you pick a subject, you could express what you want to people to do. It could be dangerous. Well, when I'm sharing this message with you, I want to understand when I was putting together, and it's not too long, kids, and so you guys won't be stuck here a long time. Really focuses to me, okay? If I were a pastor, I would be a pastor / teacher, okay? So this is where I'm going to take you. I'm trying to teach you something. So just start with this. Today's scripture I took from Luke 14:28. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Luke 14:28-30. Now, I understand that that this, in this chapter 14, it pertains to the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. But in the midst of it, there is planning, okay? And I'm going to take you on that road here, so hold that thought, okay? Now, I feel we're all aware that today is New Year's, first day of 2017. And personally, I find this this holiday a little strange, okay? That partying night before, looks like some were doing that, huh? The partying before, the resolutions, the thought of a fresh new start, and other things of that sort. So I think in this way, if a young girl is 12, and she's 12 and she's excited about being a teenager, which would be 13. So all year long, she's approaching her birthday. And then, say the birthday's today, January 1st. So today when she wakes up, she is 13. Now she has aged 1 year and 1 day. Because yesterday when she went to bed, she was 12. And now she can probably say, "I'm 13. Makes no sense. So now we have New Year's, and this is the way I look at it. Well, it's only 1 day different, okay? Everything is still there. So I never found myself making New Year's resolutions. You know, now I might do a few strange things. My wife would agree. I do things like this. Like yesterday, I did this. This is going to be the last time I shave this year. Last night. This is going to be the last shower I'm going to take this year. And I had dinner. I don't say that loud because my wife will, you know, think things about me. This is the last meal I'll eat this year. Now, I hope I'm not alone in thinking that way because it sounds a little off, okay? But that's what I do. So I don't make resolutions. I like numbers. Now, for resolutions in America, 38% of the population don't ever make them. 45% make them, and 17% are infrequent, okay? Out of all these numbers, 8% are successful. Now, if this was a baseball team or a basketball team, you know how they play like hundreds of games? And so you say you played 100 games and you won 8%, you would win 8 games a year. That would be pretty bad, right? That'd be a lousy team. So let's look at a list of New Year's resolutions I picked up off the internet. And don't misunderstand me. I'm just going to comment on a few of these, okay? Bear with me. All right. Big one is lose weight. Now, I think everybody could connect that because of the holidays. Gosh, I'm glad they're over because I've been eating so much. Now, look at these 10, and I'm going to, what a resolution is a promise to yourself, okay? So I'm going to put I in there. I am going to lose weight. God doesn't look at your exterior. You know, commercials and people say, look good, be fit, look this way, wear these shorts, wear these shirts, run, work, and nothing wrong with that. But the fact is, understand this, that God looks at the heart. Excuse me. Number two, I'm going to get organized. Big one. Understand this. Everything has a place. I'm trying to help you here with this. Everything has a place. Kids, when you come home, put your shoes where they belong. There's a container, I don't know what yours look like, called a hamper. Dirty clothes go in the hamper. Keys go here. If you start to think that way, you might be successful. Spend less, save more. This is focused on money. Stay fit and healthy. Nothing wrong with that. As long as it's not your number one priority, okay? Once again, God is looking at your interior. Enjoy life to its fullest. You only live once, right? I am so important. I'm going to do what I want to do, say what I want to say, and go where I want to go. Quit smoking. That is a wonderful one. I heard somebody told me once, this man, he says he's a Christian, but he smokes. Nicotine is an addictive drug. Let's not judge people that smoke, problems with drinking. You know, it's a great thing not to do. Learn something exciting. Usually it doesn't pertain to God. Helping others deal with their dreams. Good one. Usually pertains to your family. Doesn't extend out. Might put their help others in my family with their dreams. Number 9, I like. Fall in love. As if you had control. I pray that most of us has fallen in love once or twice or 10 times in their life. And it's not something you plan, okay? Spend more time with the family. That's a very important one. Which family you're talking about? Just your small family, your immediate family. Things are bigger than that. So my question was, why do we make resolutions? My personal thought was that they were basically a waste of time. And then I read a little bit from John Piper on this thing here, and he said, they're good if they're planned. He gave a quote from C.S. Lewis, excuse me, "You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." And I thought, that sounds good. And so, can you bring up the scripture again, please? So the man is, somebody's going to build a tower. Somebody's going to do something. And you have to sit down and count the cost of this to see if he has enough or he's able to finish this building the tower. So what happens is, in a situation in your life, you sit down, and this gentleman here, or this person they're referring to, sat down and he drew out a plan. What will I need? How much equipment? How many nails? How many wood, brick, whatever? And he started to do this. When you do planning in your life, it's very valuable, because forethought of any plan gets things done. So this year, I'm going to ask you this. Will we be making resolutions, or will we be planning for spiritual necessities? Do you spend equal time, this word, planning to maximize our ministry as we do in planning to make a living? So I'm not trying to persuade you to, I'm trying to persuade you to set some time aside every week this coming year to make plans for what? Your life? A prayer, devotion for the ministry. So I'll give you a few scriptures. So we're thinking, planning right now. And from Proverbs, this is so important. 12:22, I'll read it for you. Without counsel, plans go wrong. But with many advisors, they succeed. Don't be so independent that you think yourself above counsel. Talk to experienced and wise people. Watch them and learn by their mistakes or success. And in Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Backing up, I said I was very shy. And I don't know when I broke out of that, broke somewhat through that, but most everything I learned, I taught myself. I didn't seek anybody out to even change a tire. YouTube, sorry guys, but YouTube didn't exist, okay? It's a great tool. You could fix anything almost. But the idea is there a sort of pride that's in us that we become embarrassed, where we say, you know, I don't know how to do this, and you know somebody that does, and you go before them and say, how does your marriage seems so perfect? I'm always battling with my wife. Well, how are your kids so well behaved? They're driving me crazy. You know? So what do you do? You seek out those people in your life that there's some success, and you humble yourself and you go before them and you say, give me advice, teach me. And when that happens, then you push that forward into your children. And they see mom and dad asking questions, humbling themselves and say, I don't even know how to bake a cake, you know. I don't know how to cook anything. And you go, and this comes through fellowship, questions, humbling yourself and learning. Now, this is important, though. Proverbs 16:9 reads this. A man plans his ways. We all do that sometimes. But the Lord directs his steps. And it's very good, you being here as believers, to know that God is in control of this. You know, during Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost of Acts 2:23, he says this: Jesus is delivered up according to the definite plan of the foreknowledge of God. So God set an example. He planned the crucifixion. God's plan for redemption was what? The cross. Why? Because he planned for our joy. You saw the video? There was joy in that. In return, we should plan for his glory. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? Remember, I wrote this for me. Am I doing that? The Bible teaches you this. Read through it. The aim of life and death is to exalt Jesus Christ. Because God's plan was to take his son and stick him on a cross and crucify him for us. Nothing more clearer. Even Paul the Apostle understood the planning aspect of our lives. In Romans 15:20, he's writing the letter and he's saying, you know, my plan is to go to Spain. However, I'm going to go to Jerusalem with some aid to the saints. And then he's going to go visit those brothers and sisters in Rome. Well, God, that was God, Paul's plan. He doesn't know that in Jerusalem he's arrested and he's thrown in prison, because God had a different plan. And in prison, he writes the four prison epistles, and one of them, Ephesians. I know we're in the study of Ephesians right now. If you haven't read it, you should read it, and you should read it, and you should read it. And God, so Paul writes the epistles to Ephesians, and he says in chapter 3, verse 9, he says this: and to bring light to everyone, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things? Back up. God's plan for redemption was the cross. The mystery where Jesus dies on the cross and all are welcome to God's kingdom. All can be brothers of Jesus and children of God. The plan, because God planned it out when the sin took place, God had a plan. When the enemy hung Jesus on the cross, what did he think? Victory. But God had a plan, because 3 days later, he comes back and he shows that death has no sting. So this year, we're in a non-New Year subject. What are we going to be planning? Now, I'll give you the resolutions. Now, those of you that are resolutionist, okay, I don't want to step on your toes. You could say, I want to be Christ. I want to exalt Christ in 2017. That's a good goal, right? Good. Okay, we might say this: oh Lord, I would like to exalt Christ today. Oh God, another prayer: help me glorify your Son today. And these are really good prayers. Let's make a small change. Not exalt Christ, but we're going to change exalt to an adjective and change it to Christ exalting. And you might say, huh? What's the difference? So in 2017, your new thought might be exalt being an adjective. Listen to this. Lord, fill my mind with Christ-exalting thoughts. Lord, grant that I may experience Christ-exalting joy. I like this one because it speaks to me. I would be willing to make Christ-exalting sacrifices. Lord, help me serve my family with Christ-exalting helpfulness around the house. I'm going to share a story. One thing I'm aware of, well, I'm a sinner, okay? That helps in my walk. So I live over here in Brawley, and there's a restaurant there, and I've been going to that restaurant 4 or 5 years since I moved to Brawley. And I know by name the owners, greet them, handshake, hug. The waitresses, most of them I know their names because I ask, oh, what's your name? And they'll share their names. And so as time passed, I periodically would say, well, my name is Gil. Okay? And then, interesting, nobody remembered it. But they don't wear badges either. So I would say, oh, hello. I'll use not real name. Hello, Joni. Hello. So this couple weeks ago, I started thinking, dangerous. I said, you know, I've been going in there 5 years. One of the waitresses' boyfriend is named Gil, okay? And she still can't remember my name. So I was like driving around, and I said, they should know my name because I'm a customer. I know their names, and every time they sit me down, I greet them, and they don't respond to me with my name. So I think, oh, maybe I should go in there and vent with an owner or something, like bad service. Definitely not Christ exalting. The Spirit's so good. The Spirit speaks to my heart and says, oh, oh, oh. You poor old man. God has made you so special, so wise. So he starts to speak to my heart. So what's going on? They come to you and they bring your coffee to you. They bring your food to you. They come back to you. Fill your cup up. Do you need more coffee? Uh-huh. And they need to know your name? They are servants to you. What more could you ask? You should know their names. You go in there to eat, and they bring you food. Who's most important? The one that pays or the one that serves? And I was just in there Friday, my breakfast ministry. I'd take a friend there. Well, I looked at everything really different. I was so happy that they were serving me. And I was so blessed that I knew their name. And I didn't care if they knew my name, okay? Because I could be Christ exalting when every time they came and brought my coffee, I would just say, thank you. How are you? How was your Christmas? Christ exalting. And I caught myself as a teacher. I want you to take this in and think, how am I going to direct this? So let's make this New Year resolution, if you make them, if you're a resolutionist. I don't even know if that's a word, but to make Christ exalting featured adjective in your prayer life. That we might pursue the thought, we can enjoy the purpose of our existence. What is our existence? It's to glorify Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. You brothers and sisters, look that way. And you look this way. So you're all looking at each other. Okay? Good. These are the most important people in your life. It's not about you. I'm sorry. It's not about you. Your brothers and sisters, greet them with Christ's exalting greetings. I love coming in here and seeing people because we're family. I love shaking your hands. Somebody once said I did that because I had to do it because I was an elder. I do it because it's exciting to see you because I haven't seen you all week. Or even a day matters. Christ exalting actions. How do we behave? How do we build up? How do we reach the lost? By being Christ exalting in everything we say and everything we do. So how do we become Christ exalting? Well, this is for your new year, some planning. Okay, so we talked about planning. Here's some planning. Plan how you're going to start planning this way. Plan how you're going to spend time with your spouse to deepen and strengthen your relationship. Plan how you're going to spend time with and teaching your children. And I don't mean putting them in sports or activities, but a one-on-one with them where you're creating wonderful memories. I saw a taste of it there when Tony takes his family to a game and they're just together. Somebody told me what it was, the hot dogs were wonderful because the game was a shutout. You know what the word shutout means? That one team doesn't score any points. Sorry, Tony, but it was a shutout, okay? But when I texted them last night, they were having a wonderful time creating wonderful memories, okay? You know, don't take your kids to the movie when you don't talk to each other. Take them for a walk. Take them to the playground. Spend time. Get on the floor. Play with them. I don't care what their age is. Plan how you're going to get the amount of exercise you need to stay healthy. Okay? I'm not talking about resolutions where you're promising yourself. I'm talking about when you sit down. Today's the first day of the week. Sunday is. Where you sit down maybe on a Sunday and say, this is what I'm going to plan for the week. I'm going to walk 100 yards. I'm going to walk a mile. You need to plan what you should eat and what's healthy for you. You need to plan that you're going to get enough sleep. Some of you work extremely hard. Are you getting enough rest in your life? So you're a good mother, a good father, that you stay healthy? But you have to plan this out. You plan your vacation, what gives you rest and spiritual renewal. You know, where am I going to go on my vacation? Am I going to go there and am I going to find rest and am I going to find God, time to spend with God and my family? Slow down. Most important, plan how prayer and meditation on God's word will be a daily part of your life. You might even include spending time with your church family. We have men's studies, women's studies, home studies. You know, I have a group on Mondays. Most of the time is spending getting to know each other. I'm realizing how much we need prayer and how flawed we are and how we move forward. Guys, I'm going to be praying for you because I do pray for you. And please pray for me and the other elders of the church for this new year. Tony said he's excited about 2017. So am I. I feel that we've made a nice turn around the corner, and we're going to move forward. not for this building, but for the people starting here with Brawley and moving out, and out into the world, in different ministries, missionaries, and we're going to do one thing. We're going to share Jesus, and we're going to behave like Christians, and we're going to be exalting Christ in how we behave. Why? Because maybe you planned it. Okay? I ask the Lord that give you the best yet this year, full of Christ's exalting joy and Christ's exalting love and Christ's exalting fruitfulness. I pray that we can change our approach in this new year, not just making new resolutions, but by planning the year out week by week or month by month, moving slowly forward with the help of the Spirit to help us plan this year. May we be Christ exalting in all things. May we be rich in Christ throughout the year. May his blessings be upon you. Let's pray. Father God, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. I pray that we can start to plan what is really important in our lives, Lord. Being healthy, physically and spiritually, being wise, seeking the counsel of others, allowing the Spirit to speak to our hearts and minister us, that we grow and become more humble and more like a servant to Jesus, that we treat our family and our neighbors and our Christian brothers and sisters like they're, like the way you see them, so valuable. And we may see the lost as a diamond in the rough and realize that Jesus Christ was sacrificed by the Father for their souls, for their redemption, and for their joy. May we be kind and loving and caring. May you chisel the old man away, Lord, and renew our spirits to be servants to the world. I praise you for the time here to speak to my brothers and sisters. I pray that you will bless our days, Lord. May all our strength and joy come from one source, no other than Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us. And if you have any questions about today's recording, Gateway Church, or what it means to follow Jesus Christ, you can reach us through the contact section of our website, gwbrawley.org.